if I live according to the flesh, I will die. But the sins. Every single day, even today already. Am I really putting to death those deeds of the body? Am I doing enough? How can I be sure I'm the real deal? How can I be sure I'm saved? Again to Paul's letter to the Romans this morning. It's a letter that is all about good news. The most amazing good news. We've all sinned and God is angry with us, the whole lot of us. Paul has told us there is none righteous, no, not one. He's angry and there's not a thing that any of us can do about it. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous. There's nothing we can do to satisfy God. But there is a kind of righteousness that's available from God, and it has nothing whatever to do with keeping rules or regulations or trying to be good. It's a free gift to anybody who wants it. All it takes is faith. Trust Jesus. Believe what he said and live as if you do, and you can be righteous in God's eyes. No more sin and no more angry God. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Man, that is good news, isn't it? Great news. But it does raise some questions, and Paul has been answering those questions for us. You say it's all free, Paul. You say all I have to do is believe. Well, what about the sins I still do? Can I just go on sinning? And what about the law? Does that not matter anymore? Do I still have to keep the law? And why do I still sin so much? And what's to be done about that? And that last question, what's to be done about those sins we still do every single day? Well, it's a problem for all of us, isn't it? It was a problem for Paul himself. Here's how he put it. He said, "What I am doing, I do not understand, for what I want to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. The good that I will to do, I do not do, but what evil I will not to do, that I practice." He said, "With my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Well, Paul has told us where the answer's to be found. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is the answer. And in Romans chapter 8, the chapter we're now in, he is telling us how Jesus is the answer. He's told us that in Christ we're forgiven, there is no condemnation. But Jesus didn't just come into the world so that we could be forgiven, he's been telling us. He's told us about five amazing things that Jesus' life and death has made possible for us. He said, "You're born again now. You have a new spiritual nature that loves God and loves his ways. And what's more, God's Holy Spirit dwells in you to lead you and to give you power to overcome sin. And as well as that, you belong to Jesus now, and nothing can ever take that away from you. Nothing can ever change that." And he said, "One day, You're going to leave this flesh, this body you live in for now. You're going to leave it behind, and your spirit will live on forever. And one day, you're going to be given a new body, new flesh, a new perfect sinless body. And that will be the problem of flesh and sin fully dealt with. Five amazing things that Jesus' life and death has made possible. That's how Jesus is the answer to your problem with sin, your problem with the flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, Paul said. Well, that's even better news, isn't it? Great news again. One day, this rotten, fallen flesh will all be gone. The spirit will live on forever, clothed in a new, perfect, sinless body. And then we'll not just be forgiven, we'll be perfectly righteous in every way. Yeah, praise the Lord. Can't wait for that. But wait a minute. I'm still not totally satisfied with that answer, are you? You see, if Jesus doesn't come back today, or if you don't die in your sleep, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you'll still have that problem with your flesh. You're going to sin tomorrow, just like you did yesterday, and you probably will today. It's great to look forward to those perfect new sinless bodies that we'll all have in heaven, and we do, and we look forward with confidence. But what about now? I'm still asking that question. What about the sins I still do now? What's to be done about them? The battle will be over one day, but today it's still raging. The flesh still lusts against the spirit. I still do things I don't want to do. I still don't do the things I do want to do. What am I to do about that? Well, here's what Paul has to say about that, and this is where we finished up last week. First, he told us, you've got to realize that you're not obliged to give in to the flesh. You don't have to do it. Its influence might be very strong, but you can say no to temptation and sin. Indeed, you must say no to it, Paul says. It's a matter of life and death. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Those deeds of the flesh, the things that you still do under its influence, have to be put to death, he said. And that takes ruthless determination. You've got to be serious about it. Put to death the deeds of the body. Identify those sins that keep coming up again and again and go after them and deprive them of every possible opportunity for exercise and stop making excuses for them and stop feeding them and don't encourage them in any way. Get help if you need it and persevere. Don't give up until you have that sin put to death. There is no such thing as a sin that can't be beaten. Put those deeds of the flesh to death and do it, Paul says, by the Spirit. Three very important words. Your spirit, that new born again you, that new heart that you've got, your new nature that's indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's what has to do the putting to death. So you've got to pray. And you've got to stay strong spiritually and do the things that will make you strong spiritually. And you've got to walk in the Spirit and don't quench the Spirit. Don't resist His influence and don't grieve the Spirit by sinning in other ways. But instead, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Brethren, he says, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. That's what's to be done about those sins that you still do now. You doing that? I hope so. How many sins have you identified and gone to war on and put to death this past week? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's a practical and helpful verse. Well, it's kind of a sobering verse as well and a bit scary, isn't it? If I don't put to death the deeds of the flesh and go on living by it if I live according to the flesh, I will die? A verse like that, if you took it seriously, could leave you wondering, are you saved or not? If you live according to the flesh, you will die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see all those ifs in there? If. But oh, the sins. Every single day, even today already. Am I really putting to death those deeds of the body? Am I doing enough? How can I be sure I'm the real deal? How can I be sure I'm saved? You know, you're not the only one who's ever asked that question. We've all grappled with it at one time or another, and if you haven't, you will. Every real Christian asks that question at some time. Some of us ask it more than others. How can I know I'm the real deal? It's the flesh, you see. Remind you again what Paul said about it. What I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Every day. The flesh gets the upper hand, and every day we sin. And no matter how determined you are to put it to death, that old flesh still makes you sin. And that's the way it's going to be until you do leave it behind and get that new body in heaven. One day you leave it behind to rot in a box. But until then, it's going to bother you. It lives. And sometimes we're left frustrated by it and left wondering, am I the real thing? How can I be when I sin so much? Well then, how can we be sure? Because God doesn't want us to be unsure. He doesn't want us to be tormented by doubts. How can we be sure? And that's the question that Paul is going to help us with in the verses that we've come to this morning. I just love Paul's letters. They just blow in the way my mind goes. He states something that's true, and then it stirs up questions in your mind. And if you're just patient and read on a wee bit more, he answers those questions. And that's what he's doing here in Romans. He's explained the good news of the gospel to us. It raises questions, and now he's just knocking them off one by one. And we've come to this one. How can I be sure that I'm a Christian? How can I know without a doubt that I'm the real deal? Verses 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I see in those verses two ways that you can be sure that you're saved. One of them Paul tells us about in verse 14. We've already thought about it last week, but it's important, so we're going to come back to it again, and I'm going to remind you about it, say a little bit more about it. And the other one comes in verse 15, and we'll come to that presently. First way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The question and the test is, are you led by the Spirit of God? Well, what does that mean? How does the Spirit lead? And the answer to that is, he leads us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. That's clear from verse 13. We've talked about it before. If you're led by the Spirit, you're going to hate your sin. It grieves you. It makes you angry. When sins rear their head, you want to go to war with them and put them to death. When your flesh presents you with an opportunity to sin, an opportunity to tell a lie or to grouse about something or to click on that porn site or to gloat over the great things that you've done or to brag about what a great guy you are or to put yourself first or to take the hump because somebody else didn't put you first. When that happens, when your flesh presents you with an opportunity to sin, the spirit, your spirit, the new born again you, will hate the very thought of it. The spirit leads you. And so you'll take up the fight with all the determination you can muster. That's what people who are genuinely sons or children of God do. It's what born again people do. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, obvious question, do you? That's the test. Now, I'm not saying, do you never sin? I'm not asking you, do you have the flesh annihilated? That's not going to happen till you get to heaven. What I'm asking you is, do you hate your sin and are you fighting it with ruthless determination? You see, before you were saved, you loved your sin. The only thing that stopped you sinning in those days was the fear of being found out or the fear of the consequences. You didn't hate it. You didn't have any notion of putting it to death, but now it's different. And that is proof that you have been born again and you have a new nature. So there's the first way you can be sure you're saved. You take a look at your life. You see all of that change. You see how you now hate sins that you used to love and enjoy and certainly didn't hate. And you know that that change has happened and you say, yeah, God did that to me. I know I'm the real thing. Second way you can be sure, Paul tells us about in verse 15. He says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, before we get into that, I want to highlight something that you really don't want to miss. In verse 14, Paul has actually introduced a new idea. It hasn't come up before in his letter to the Romans, and it's going to come up again in verses 15, 16, and 17. It's the idea that everybody who is in Christ, everybody who's a Christian, is a son or a daughter, a child of God. We're all adopted by God. Paul's not actually teaching about adoption here. He does that in other places. Here he seems to be just taking it for granted that the believers in Rome knew what he was talking about. It's something that goes with being a Christian. If you're a Christian, you've been adopted, you're a child of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he says, these are sons of God. He doesn't just decide to call us sons of God at this point, of course, for no reason. So we need to be sure that we have some idea what it means. Adoption, well, we have our ideas about adoption now, but back when Paul wrote this, the thinking of it might have been a little different. It wasn't really a thing among the Jews, but it was a big deal with the Romans. When a Roman child was adopted, there was a whole legal process that was gone through. And when that legal process had been completed, when the adoption was completed, the child became, in law, the child of his or her adopted father. He or she now had all the privileges that a natural child had. In fact, his or her position was probably better than that of a natural child in a sense because they had been granted these things by choice rather than by accident of birth. Now, you just think about that. Imagine you had been born a slave in Rome and you have now been adopted by your master. Man, that would have been really something, wouldn't it? Now think about what it means to be adopted by God. Adopted by God and sharing all the same rights as a natural son. Who's the natural son? Oh, Jesus, right, Son of God. All the privileges and rights that belong to Jesus himself are now yours. Wow. Told you this was something you didn't want to miss, this bit about adoption. We'll have more to say about adoption next week, but, well, week after, and I'll be here next week. But that's enough for now. Let's get back to verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When you were born again and acquired your new nature, you acquired a spirit indwelled by the Holy Spirit, remember, Well, Paul says that that spirit is a spirit of adoption that causes you to cry out, Abba, Father. It's not a spirit of fear, he says. It's not a spirit of slavish obedience. You see, you could get the wrong idea entirely from verses 13 and 14. You could be left thinking, oh no, I'd better put all those sins to death or I'm going to die. But it's not like that. Paul says, no, there's no fear. That's not why you obey God now. That's not why you put those sins to death. That's not the kind of spirit you received. That's not how the Spirit leads you to kill sin. No, the Spirit you received stirs you up to love your Father. He stirs your spirit to love God in the way that a child loves his father, so your spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba, I know many of you have heard this before. It's the word that Jesus used to speak to his father in Gethsemane. And it's a word that no Jew before that ever would have dared used in speaking to God, because it's the word that a little child used to speak to his daddy. And it probably would be better translated that way, daddy. Now, I hope you see, this is not about just saying the word Abba, daddy, or father. I mean, you could program a computer to do that. Paul's talking about a cry that comes from the Spirit, about a cry from deep within, a cry of love, the kind of love that a wee boy has for his daddy. He's talking about affection. He's talking about amazement and trust and confidence and security and joy and happiness and longing and yearning and need and dependence. Daddy. He's not talking about a cold intellectual acknowledgement of the legal transaction of adoption.
I've been adopted, you know.
He's not talking about that. No, he's saying the Holy Spirit is poured out in our hearts to make us experience it and grasp it with wide-eyed wonder. He, God, is my daddy. My daddy. The Holy Spirit poured out in our hearts so that our spirits relate to God with that free, happy, relaxed confidence and affection of a little child. And that's what motivates us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Not fear. Not fear that God is going to be angry. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You see that word for? Very important. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage, but you received a spirit of adoption. You're led by the Spirit, and you go to war on those sins, not because you're afraid, not because you have to, but because God is your daddy and you love him. That's why. See, fear only produces compliance. You make your children fear you, well then, yeah, out of fear, they'll give in for a while, but they'll get over it eventually, because their hearts haven't changed. They're just complying. Fear only produces compliance, and that's not what God wants from us. And if that's the way you're living, living in fear of breaking the rules, that's not right. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Spirit drenches us in the love of God so that we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So there you are, two ways to be sure. Two things that are true of every real Christian, every true believer. The Holy Spirit stirring up love for the Father, causing you to cry out, Daddy, and your spirit putting sin to death. And those two go together. A spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, and a spirit led by the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh, because it's a spirit that's stirred by God's Spirit to love God in the way that a little child loves his daddy. That's what leads to the obedience. That's how the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you can be sure you're the real thing. But let's be honest. Some days, it's just not that easy to be sure. Some days, the flesh seems to have the upper hand. And sometimes, let's be honest, those days can run into weeks and even months. Weeks and months when sin has the upper hand in our lives. We've all experienced that. I have, you have. And those are the times, really, aren't they, when the doubts come? What do you do on days like that? Well, let me make a few suggestions. First, when your flesh gets the better of you and you sin, don't go doubting your salvation. If you're thinking, am I saved or am I not, don't go dwelling on those thoughts. Here's what to do instead. Sin gets the upper hand. The first thing you should do is grieve. Grieve over that sin. Oh, Father, it's a broken, fallen world, and I live in a broken, fallen body, and I'm reminded of it every day. But, oh, Daddy, I hate my sin. And I keep losing the battle with it again and again. And some days I think I'm making progress and I think I'm learning, but then I go and I do the very same things again. Oh, Father, grieve over it. Next thing you should do then is pray. Father, Daddy, will you help me? I can't do it myself. Don't leave me like this. I want to be like Jesus. I want the people around me to see Jesus in me. I want to glorify him. Oh, Father, will you help me? Pray. And then, driven by grief and backed by prayer, then summon all the love and the strength he gives you and go to war on that sin. Fight it and persevere. Every time you fail, you get up and you go again and you persevere until by his grace you overcome it. And do you see that it's in doing that that the assurance will come? That you'll be able to say, well, would you look at me? Look at me. I'm waging war. I'm putting that sin to death. My heart is crying out to my Father. And that proves it's real. I am the real thing. God has saved me. Let me ask you, what does the Christian life feel like to you? Do you wake up in the morning thinking, Daddy, new day, great. I wonder what adventures we'll have together today. Do you wake up thinking, he loves me. And today the two of us are going to go out there and we're going to smash some sins. Is that how it feels, or does it feel like slavery? Is it like killing sin as a chore? Is it something you do because you have to and you know you should? What's wrong with you? Paul wants you to enjoy being led by the Spirit. That's what these verses are about here. The fearful service of a slave is not what God wants. That's why he sent Jesus into the world, so it didn't have to be like that. That's why he puts his Holy Spirit within you. What's wrong with you? You've got it all wrong. Stop and think. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is a bit off track, but a word here for those of you who are daddies. Could I encourage you to take a leaf out of God's book? Teach your children to love you. Give them lots and lots and lots of reasons to love you. That's what God does with us. Don't teach them to fear you. It's not God's way. Your children might obey you because they fear you. I'll tell you, when they get older, you'll lose them. Be a daddy to them, and they'll still look to you in that way when they're grown up. But that's by the way. Some of you, all this is foreign to you, I can tell. It's making no sense at all. It might as well be speaking in the original Greek, as far as you're concerned. You're thinking, I don't know what he's talking about this morning. Maybe you're thinking, I'm saved, yeah, and I believe Jesus died for me, and I live a decent life, and I take my stand as a Christian when I have to, and I don't tell lies, and I don't cheat or steal. But all this stuff about grief over sin, and no, I'm happy living life the way I'm living. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm doing okay, and I'm getting on with things, and I go to church, and I say my prayers, and I read my Bible. And all this cry about Abba, Father, what's that all about? If that's what you're thinking, I can't reassure you that you're the real thing. I can't reassure you that you are saved. If none of this is chiming with you, if there's no battle to put to death the deeds of the flesh, if there's no hatred of those sins you still do, and there's no desire or effort to overcome them, and if there's no cry of Abba, Father, there's no sign of life. And you need to sort that out with God. Maybe you need to get serious about your sin and about living for Him. Don't let it go. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Father, Daddy, we love you. We trust you. We have confidence in you. And oh, we want to make you happy. And we want to please you. Help us, Lord, out of that love and that desire to put to death those sins that still trouble us so that we might be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.